Hey everyone, welcome back. It's your another daily episode. Daily, like I'd record daily.
Monthly.
Well, lately it's been rarely monthly. I've been trying to do it weekly. I'm working on it. So today I want to talk about jealousy, and I have a special guest today. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Rick from Canmore.
What?
Not really.
I mean, if I called you Rick while we were in the sheets, would that be something?
Ooh, that's a whole other podcast episode right there.
Anyway, so today...
Did I ever tell you... Anyway, I can tell you a story about that.
No, I want to hear the story. What's the story?
I actually knew somebody who when I was sleeping with somebody, she really liked that. She liked being called different names of different people that I'd been with.
Interesting.
By quote, quote unquote accident.
Oh.
Anyway, yeah. Anyway, that's a whole other podcast.
That episode. Is a totally whole other podcast. That's that. We should give that a go. Anyways, if you couldn't tell, this is my husband.
Hello.
He's on today again because I think it's important that the conversation we have today, you know, honestly, it's really transpired from our everyday life. Mm-hmm. So if you guys haven't, like, you guys don't know this probably, but most of the episodes that I record are somehow related to what's actively going on in our non-monogamous life in some way. So this is no different. So we've been having a lot of discussions about jealousy and working through some fairly intense things, and I felt like the way that we have worked through it, and now we're kind of on the other side of things, I feel like, and just kind of wanted, I felt like if it works for us, that maybe we could help somebody out there in the world who's going through this too. So, I just want you to know that a lot of the information that I'll be like talking about today doesn't only come from personal experience, but also I've been doing a lot of research on The Ethical Slut. There's some really good information in there, but there's also a jealousy workbook written by Kathy Labriola, I think, and it's all about non-monogamy and jealousy. So if you guys ever get your hands on that workbook, I get it. It's like $20. You can probably find it on Amazon. It's wonderful. It has such good insights as to like the real things that make you tick as to why you are jealous and how to fix that specifically to you and what you need based on their tests and assessments and all that stuff, which is kind of cool. So I want to incorporate our experience and also have a discussion about some of the things that I have read and written about.
Are you going to tell them about the experience?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
For sure?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course.
I think in like, you know, some vague way.
You do you. I'm right here.
No names.
I'm just driving along the train. So.
Choo-choo.
Choo-choo.
So, okay. My idea of what jealousy is, it is an emotion. It's an emotion that could cause panic, anger, sadness, fear, frustration, envy, an assortment of different feelings, but it is an emotion. And if you're trying to work through it, and if you're actively going through it, I just really want to encourage you guys that you are already at the right spot. If this is something that you're currently going through and you actually have an open mind to learn about jealousy and how to get through that emotion, you are already doing so well, because then you can open your mind to different perspectives, which is great. Because most of the time, you know, we were raised to be like serial monogamists. You know, we were like, some people were raised to be like, you only have sex with one person and, you know, jealousy will eat you alive. And if you fuck up, then you got to get a divorce and all this horribleness that comes with monogamy. And But the reality is, when you're in non-monogamy, you get jealous in different ways all the time. And if you really want to do non-monogamy and you want to do it effectively with good communication, then you kind of have to be able to navigate what jealousy is. So, my love.
Yes, love.
How do you describe the feeling you get when, what feeling do you get when you have jealousy?
Oh, I don't know. That's tough. That might be tough to describe. Like, do you mean physical response or what do you mean?
So for me, the feelings I get, because like, so like to me, the way, way I described it is like, the jealousy itself is an emotion, but like the feelings that describe that emotion is like anger, sadness, fear, shit like that, right?
Panic.
That's what I get too.
I would say there is a physical sensation that goes along with that.
Absolutely, yeah. Anxiety for me.
Probably more anger than sadness. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to ask yourself really what symptoms you have, because then you can effectively communicate to your partner how they can navigate when you're going through that. You know, when you're going through the jealousy phase and you have these feelings, that they have to be recognized, they have to be talked about, because if you just ignore it and just don't talk about it, then nothing fucking happens and it's just going to keep getting worse. And then it just creates this huge ball of yuckiness. Right. So Aaron and I, like, luckily, we talk very well. Mm-hmm. We communicate to like crazy degrees. Mm-hmm. And it's I find, honestly, I've never been able to communicate as good with somebody as I have with you, mm-hmm. which is why I think we're successful at this non-monogamy thing ish. Mm. Ish. Mm-hmm. Ish.
Ish.
We try.
Well, that's part of the discussion today.
So, okay, now that we know, like, kind of, like, what jealousy is and what kind of the definitions I'm going to be using for during this, you know, it's important that you guys, like, I mean, most of you that are going to be listening to this podcast, I'm not going to be talking about monogamy jealousy, because I find as though if you're here, you're probably a slut of some kind, or you're a swinger, or you're open, or you're poly, whatever it may be, non-monogamous, that's probably who's listening to this podcast. If you just stumbled upon my podcast and all of a sudden this is the very first one that you're listening to, the odds are that's very small, but if that happened, welcome.
Eka.
Dun, dun, dun. Okay, so the thing is that one of the books that I was reading is that there's triggers. Mm-hmm. There's triggers to what set people off for the emotion of jealousy mm-hmm. coming into play. So, for example, there's some people who, you know, get very intense feelings about, like, what has happened in the past for them, or, you know, loss of partner, you know, surprises, insecurities, expectations, mm-hmm. being demoted, all those things can mm-hmm. really create jealousy. And actually, one of the fun exercises that Kathy suggests, mm-hmm. which is great, actually, is to actually sit there and instead of like meditating about it, you actively sit there for at least 20 minutes of just like thinking about your partner with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And then assessing yourself for how that makes you feel. So, like, think about them on a first date. Thinking about them, you know, having these new crazy NRE, which is new relationship energy, you know, feelers, which is pretty potent. And, you know, having them, you know, hook up and thinking about the way they touch each other, the intimacy, you know, if, you know, they had a sleepover, if they, you know, think of all these things and how that would make you feel. And then assess from there, like, what could possibly be your triggers and how you can work through them.
Mm.
So I think that's a very effective exercise, personally.
Mm-hmm.
I think that could also bring up a lot of fucking heavy shit for someone who's not as experienced, who their partner has not played with very much outside of your relationship. because that can bring a lot of emotions. And most of the time I feel like people struggle most is fear, you know, genuine fear of
not knowing what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Surprises.
Yeah, surprises are in this context are not fun.
No, they're not fun. And they're usually, like, really intense. So, the end of the day, though, when you're feeling this, just recognize that it is a fucking emotion. It is not in control of you. You are in control of how you feel. You are in control of your emotions. And it is not permanent. And you are not alone. And everyone struggles with this shit.
Hmm.
And in fact, so much so, forever ago when Sigmund Freud, who is a psychoanalyst, he actually did an analysis of jealousy. And he said that there's four components of grief. Four components, which is grief of possibly losing someone you love. The realization that you can't have everything that you want in life. The enmity. What does that mean? Enmity.
Enmity?
Yeah. Because it says the enmity towards the rival who won the love of your human.
Like being pissed off at them or having bad feelings. Like, you know, leave your guns at home, boys. Don't take your guns to town, as Johnny Cash says.
Right. And anger on ourselves for being inadequate that will result in our partner leaving us. So the questions that you have to ask yourself, you know, is like, why this is going on? How did you get here? How do you move past it? What can your partner do? Shit like that. So this is the situation. Your for example.
All this being said,
I just wanted to get that basis out there.
Sure. That makes sense.
So this is.
That's the theory.
This is the theory.
Here's the practice.
Here's the practice. So, husband and I.
Hello.
You're okay if I tell the story?
Yeah.
To like.
Of course. Go.
Okay. Just so you know, I did ask him consent before this. I'm not pressuring him on the line.
I signed in four different places.
I just want to make sure. So, okay. So this is like.
I was buying a house.
You need insurance. I need insurance.
The fifth signature.
I need reassurance.
I love you.
Love you. So, okay. I have been seeing a new person.
Okay, we'll back up.
Okay, where are we backing up to?
To how this all got started.
Because
I think the context would be good.
Oof. Okay, let's do it.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy, here it goes. So, husband and I, husband was talking to someone on a Facebook group that we're a part of. That's non-monogamy. And they set up a date for themselves first.
Yeah.
And they kind of met. And then they were like, oh, we should meet our spouses together. So the four of us to go on a date. And so we did. And, you know, like there was a obvious connection between me and the other guy and a not so obvious connection between Aaron and the other girl.
Well, yeah.
A confusing one.
Well, mixed.
Yes.
Anyway.
Without giving too much detail.
Mm-hmm.
But there was, you know, a bit of a falling out for Aaron and this other person. And then me and that person continued talking.
The partner of that
The partner of that person.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there was some difficulty, I think. What do you think about your side of how you feel about
it? Well, so, okay, the way that this all started, I mean, it kind of started the way that it always started when I've talked to other people and there seemed to be an initial attraction, and then I got together with this person and was not getting the sense from this person that they were particularly interested, but there kept getting messages being sent my way. I don't know how much detail you want to go into that.
No, I don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
That might not be the case. And so I'm like, well, okay, maybe my instincts are
off.
So I, you know, kept going, and it turns out that my instincts were actually correct from the beginning. So listen to your instincts.
Yes. There's a reason why this context is kind of important in the transition period of the topic of jealousy. So I think that at some point, you know, me and this other person, this guy, you know, we had a pretty intense connection, and I felt like an intense sexual connection. Like, I don't know, like,
well, the electricity between you guys was pretty apparent when we got together as a couple. Like, that was, there was no hiding that.
Yeah.
Like, it was pretty apparent.
Like, I just don't want to put, like, publicly too many horses before the cart, if you know what I mean. Anyways, so what I'm getting at is that there was some, you know, there's some shit there. So during this time, moral of the story is that I continued seeing this person. And there was some pretty intense conversations that happened with Aaron and I about the topic of jealousy.
Well, hang on. We'll back up, because it was more than just you and him talking.
Oh, yeah. Well, we were hooking up. And
yeah. So, no. You guys dove in the pool with both
feet. We did.
Yeah.
We did. We dove in the
pool. Yeah, that's an important element.
Okay, sorry. I thought that was assumed. We dove into the pool. The pool was dove.
Yes.
So, there was some... Yeah. So, I kind of... The idea I was thinking, my love, is how you were initially feeling when this whole thing kind of started out without that bit, or no, just how you felt, like, how did this conversation, the reason why I wanted to bring this up, this whole conversation, is I want to be really authentic and talk about the fact that we were, like, kind of working through a jealousy moment between, like, with you, and then I'm going to talk about the other thing that I inquired today in my own brain, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So I think it's important to sort of treat it as a whole.
Yeah.
So I mean, I've definitely been in situations before where there wasn't a connection with somebody, and that's fair. I guess part of this stemmed from the idea that I had kind of been anticipating that this might actually have been a thing.
Like a couple thing. Yeah.
And something that, you know, I would have been able to participate in.
Yeah.
And the other person would have been able to participate in. And kind of had a sense of, okay, well, you know, I guess I'll be as authentic about this as I can. It's finally... I get to actually live this polyamorous lifestyle for the first time since we've been together.
Yeah.
So I was excited. I was like, okay, there's some possibilities here. This could be a really cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, and you and he hit it off, and I saw her again, and it was the result was a meltdown. But you and he kept going. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of butt hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I was feeling a little, I don't know what to put, how to put words to it. Yeah, it didn't make me feel very good.
Yeah.
And it kind of felt like, oh, again?
Yeah. I mean, the reality is, if you guys are, like, new to, like, like, I don't know if we've ever really talked about it on my episode, like on my podcast, but like the difficulty that men have in polyamory.
Some
men have in polyamory. Aaron is definitely one of those people. Like, he really struggles in finding, you know, people that are really showing a lot of interest in him and him alone.
Yeah.
You know, people, there's a lot, well, I mean, we do hang out in swinger communities.
Sure.
Primarily.
But even that is, even that's tricky. That's,
yeah.
That's really difficult. See, on my own, like, you know, before you and I met.
Yeah. You had no problem.
No problem. Because I'm the...
You're the relationship guy.
I'm the relationship guy.
You're the guy that girls want to settle down with.
And that's the energy I realize that I give off to a lot of people. Not mm-hmm. necessarily to everybody, but to a lot of people. I'm the one you take home.
Yeah.
To mommy. And in certainly the swinger world of things... That is not what people are looking for.
No.
And I also realize, I mean, I am not, how do I say this politely? I am not like most other guys.
You aren't. That's the reality of this.
I mean, for a variety of reasons, yes. I'm not. I mean, part of it is my background, sort of who I am, what my interests are. Mm. In where we live, in Edmonton anyway. I will say that that is not necessarily the case in other places. Like, yes. I didn't have, when I was playing in the Calgary scene, I did not have difficulties like this.
Mm-hmm.
Just by virtue of the fact that I had more in common, maybe, with people that were down in that, and Lethbridge in that area, than I do with a lot of people that are in the scene in Edmonton. Yes. And it's just, it's a demographic thing. And it's... what people are kind of into and looking for in Absolutely. The community up
and
here.
And you kind of have to be a certain type of guy.
You have to be a type of guy up for here. Sure. Up here in particular.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, I saw, I won't get specific in it. I saw a meme that made me giggle, actually, on one of the groups. Because it basically is what so many people seem to look for. And the meme was... I'm not looking for Prince Charming. I'm looking for a tatted up guy with a beard who, quote unquote, works hard, meaning physical work or, you know, police or, you know, that sort of stuff or oil patch or construction or whatever. I fit none of those criteria, at least not at this stage in my life. I mean, I am you could call me a white collar worker. I'm a white collar guy. I don't have time.
Which is so interesting because that's exactly what I was looking for.
Well, but see, and that's why I fit more into the Calgary scene than I do here.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't want to go too far off.
Yes. So yeah. there's reasons why we're saying these things. So the reason why I feel like a lot of the jealousy that Aaron felt was mm-hmm. because of the fact that he was like, finally an experience that I can enjoy too,
right.
that I would like. That would be fun for me mm-hmm. and
well, fun for both of us.
Fun like, for both of us,
we,
for sure.
We could actually enjoy it together. Yeah.
Versus like, you know, we've been in, like I have been in a lot of other relationships. I mean, none of them really went anywhere and, you know, they were kind of shitty, but sorry, not sorry. You know who you are. You're probably still listening, motherfucker. But you know.
It was fun to go see Bobby Lee together.
Time, wasn't it?
It was.
Oh God. Okay. Anyways. So what I'm trying to say you can't. You derailed me.
Sorry. You're just thinking of Bobby Lee naked
That's
on stage.
That's all I can think of.
That's all that. If you've never seen Bobby Lee, the comedian,
he's always naked.
I encourage you to do so because
just be ready.
He's on The Cabin with Bert Kreischer on Netflix. If you don't,
he's very interesting, man. He's really funny.
Anyway, unlike other relationships.
So, okay, so I've dibbled, I've played, I've done the things, I've had friends with benefits, I've had, you know, super casual things, I've had relationships, I've had the gamut.
Well, and I have played too.
Yes, like, you have.
There have been instances with people where I have played.
Where you almost had something ongoing.
Well, there's a lot of, there's almost something ongoing with people a lot, which is part of the reason why I was like, ooh. This looks like this might actually be a thing. And then the air just came right out of the tires. But yeah, I mean, But yeah, my situation, it was most of them ended up being one or two, and that was that, mm-hmm. right? So, and for a variety of reasons.
Of course.
You know, some people actually, in the interim, had decided to be monogamous. Mm-hmm. Other people, you know, ended up being in other types of relationships or whatever. There's a variety of reasons, right, as to why it didn't work out, so...
Yes. So we got on the topic of jealousy and we had a bit of a, you know, like it wasn't like an easy time. I felt like it was probably a little bit of a, it was a lot of conversations, you know,
the last 3 weeks or so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, you know, there was some intense conversations that we had and we wanted to be very authentic with each other and, you know, try to work through it the best way that we could.
Well, because let's be honest, I was exhibiting signs that I was not particularly happy.
Yes.
Right? Part of this is, and part of this arose because there was actually multiple things going on. Many of which had nothing to do, actually, with this whole scenario. I mean, work had gone crazy bananas, and I was working in super hours, and I was really, really tired from, you know, from work and that sort of stuff, and I was navigating a bunch of other stuff. So none of that really helped it. So, yeah, I was exhibiting kind of down, being down, maybe a bit grumpy, not being overly excited about things.
So, you know, I feel like in my my initial reactions, so how I reacted to Aaron's feelings was kind of shitty, because at first I was like, I had a hard time understanding why he was feeling the way he was feeling. And I think a part of it was like we weren't communicating effectively.
Yeah, I was not being articulate because I was so fucking run down that I couldn't form my thoughts and emotions into words at the time.
For sure.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like I was just getting like kind of frustrated because I was like, but we're allowed to do this and this is okay. I don't know why you're struggling. Like, why is this? Mm-hmm. Like, we're open.
We have a charter.
We have a charter. We have a charter of rights and freedoms that support each other's sexuality and relationships and love outside of our relationship and all this shit.
All of that.
And so in my head, it was so simplistic that it was like, I can do this. Why are you struggling?
Why are you having a problem with this?
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And it wasn't until we finally got to a point where like, so I was getting upset with him and he was getting upset with me because I wasn't listening to what he said and he wasn't listening to what I said, and it just became this vicious cycle. And that's a proof right there that communication is so fucking important.
It really is.
And you have to recognize when you're doing good and when you're doing shitty. And you know, I'm not one of those people that are like, okay, we're not effectively communicating, let's stop talking. I'm not one of those people. Because I cannot go to bed unless that situation is dealt with immediately.
Right.
So
it's actually really good advice. That's the best relationship. Never go to bed angry.
Ever.
That is the best relationship advice that has ever been given.
Which is why there has been some, when I've been going through a lot of stuff for my work also, and like I lost a lot of sleep too, because, you know, I one morning I woke up at like 3 a.m. and didn't go back to sleep.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, but we know it was important. We knew that we had to talk it out. We knew that we were going to say things in the heat of the moment. But at the end of the day, we had to say our piece.
Sure. Yeah.
So eventually we got, and I mean, I'm not talking like this took a day. This took weeks.
About 3 weeks.
3 weeks of us having really heavy discussions, you know, every single day. And it was like, you know, when your partner is struggling like that, it is so easy to be irritated by them, to be angry with them, to, you know, vice versa, either way, you know, like if I'm not understanding you or you're not understanding me, you know, it's easy to let those emotions really take hold. But there was a shift somewhere about a week ago for me where I was like, it doesn't matter what made you upset. It doesn't matter why you're upset. How can I help you? How can I hear you? How can I understand you? Because that's what matters. You know, it doesn't matter how we got here. It doesn't matter, like, any of that shit. I don't need to fix it right fucking now. What I need to know is how I can support you through this phase.
And I kind of got to a place, well, in the last few days in particular, where I'm actually able to articulate the issue now, what my problem was. in a way probably that I wasn't doing very effectively before. And I mean, I totally get that. And I knew at the time, I think I said it at the time numerous times, I am not communicating what I'm actually feeling very well. And it was jealousy, but it wasn't jealousy for what you'd think it was.
At all. I thought he was being super jealous of the fact that I was hooking up with this new guy, but he wasn't at all.
No, that's not it. Because, that wasn't it at all. What I was jealous of was that I don't get to share into that, right? I don't get to have those experiences. At least I haven't really yet. I was jealous because I struggle, you know, with this and being able to enjoy fully sort of a poly and LS, you know, lifestyle. Not because, you know, it's difficult to connect with people.
Well, I think you're really hard to get to know.
I am hard to get to know because I we've talked about this on the podcast before. I've had, until I get to know you, there are a set of shields that go up.
Oh, for sure.
And it's pretty rare.
Unless it's me, because I conquered those fucking
walls. So, yeah, it was almost instantaneous with you, my love. And it does happen quicker for some people than for other. And it's based on sort of connection.
Same with me.
Yeah. So I'm out of the gate. I struggle a little bit for a variety of reasons that I haven't been able to share in this. So I was not, the way I put it today, I think is probably maybe the simplest and best way to put it. I am not jealous of you and Mr. X.
Mm-hmm.
That's not actually what I'm jealous for. And I'm really happy.
Mm-hmm.
I am jealous because I can't, or I don't get to,
mm-hmm.
Have the same sort of experiences. Not to say that it won't ever happen, not to say that it's an impossibility, not to say any of that, but that's the jealousy. And because, you know, as I told you, I've been banging my head against mm-hmm. the wall for 2 years.
And, you know, like, so this is where, once we figured out, you know, where this jealousy had kind of gone and how we can, like, get to that point, once we got to that pinpoint, then it is super easy for us to be like, okay, how can we work mm-hmm. around that? Like, what can we do? And what advice can you give? You know, like, I think in my head, I'm like, if we're stuck in a mindset and, you know, mm-hmm. it's shitty and whatever, then I think to myself, okay, my love, how would you give advice mm-hmm. to someone who is just envious of their partner's abilities?
Well, and I will say also, and as part of this, that has subsided. So that jealousy that I was experiencing, especially this last week, has really started to subside. Part of it had to do with the fact, I mean, that maybe I'm using it as a crutch, I don't know, but as I was fucking exhausted for the better part of October.
I get that.
I was running around like a madman doing a bunch of stuff, meditation, work, all that sort of stuff. So I was freaking exhausted and really wasn't thinking overly clearly a lot of the time about this sort of stuff. But it has started to subside, and which is sort of a normal pattern for me too.
It is.
Because it was the same last year when you were with mm-hmm. person Y. We went to see Bobby Lee with. I was pissed off for much the same reason.
Yeah.
It really didn't have anything to do with you, and it didn't have anything to do with person Y, and it mm-hmm. didn't really have anything to do with the fact that you were having a relationship. It was like, fuck's sakes. You know,
when is it going to be my turn?
When is it going to be mine? And it was, in this particular instance, it was compounded by the fact that it started off
as a possibility.
It was actually going to, there was a possibility that it was actually going to be something that I could participate in. And then it went totally off the rails.
Okay, so, but now, what advice can you, how do we get past it? Like, how do we help you get out of that?
Well, it's a matter of, I mean, I am a slow processor. I'm a big thinker. Yes. I'm an INTJ on the Myers-Briggs, right? So the T is very big in my world, and the J is very big in my world, as is the I. I am kind of
bored. I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about. Let's get to the gist of it.
You never done the Myers-Briggs?
No.
Oh, honey. We're going to be doing some Myers-Briggs. big in thinking. Yes. Big in thinking things through. Permutations, combinations. You know, what about this scenario? What about that scenario? And I think a large part of this for me was you needed to help me think it out. So the advice is, I guess, how do you help somebody who gets into this situation is you have to know your partner well enough as to how they're going to be able to process something. And you know that I'm a thinker and you know that, you know, I stew. I turn stuff around in my head. I look at things from all sorts of different angles. You know that about me, and you were willing to walk that path with me because of Rev. And that's how. And that's the advice that I give. How do you help a partner if you run into this situation? Is you have to know what it is. For some people, it's not going to be a thinking thing. It may be, who knows what it'll be. I don't know. You know, it might be a case where, I don't even know. It's going to depend on who the person is. For me, I need to think things through in order to be comfortable.
And I'm not talking like think things through for like guys a day or two. Like this, like I said, 3 weeks of talking this shit out.
Yeah.
And still like for every single time, every single day that I had, we had a dead-ended conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we would talk and talk and talk until we just both exhausted each other.
Yeah.
And then that was it. And we'd pick up tomorrow, you know, like the next day. And so then we'd try again. And, you know, and it was just ineffective communication after ineffective communication. And so, you know, even though we were talking the whole fucking time, neither of us... Mm-hmm. It wasn't until I stopped and I was just like, you know what? He probably just needs to fucking talk it out.
Yeah.
So instead of me resisting, instead of me being like, you have to do that and you have to, you know, get on board and try to date.
I had to take a couple of days to pull back so that I could actually allow myself to process it out.
Yeah. That wasn't involving in work.
Right.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Well, and wasn't involving in what's the matter with you? And
yeah.
Why can't you get on board with this? Yes. Whatever. Yes. When in fact that isn't actually what it was about at all.
Yeah.
But I wasn't able to articulate it because I had about 40,000 thoughts running around my head at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Meditation helped a little, but not really. I mean, it means probably better than not doing it. So
what I'm getting at, guys, is that this takes a long fucking time and a lot of effort to communicate. So even I had an eye-opening moment tonight and I was doing research and, you know, like I always do, like, I always try to make it a point to make sure that I know what the fuck I'm talking about before I tell you guys about it. And one of the things that I was reading in my book blew me the fuck away. And it was just in a little assignment. It was just a small little assignment to do like 10 minutes of like thinking about a situation where you felt jealous and uncomfortable. And my brain went to a fucking crazy place. So there was a person that Aaron was having a super connection with that was weird.
Well, it was weird for a number of reasons.
Yes. They were friends that weren't allowed to touch.
Yeah, there's no physicality to
it. No, and because of like other partners not being okay with things, not me, but others.
Yeah.
And then they had like it was like the best way I can describe it is like static in the air. Yeah. Like when I was alone in the room with them, I was like it feels muggy. Like I feel damp. Oh. Like it's just reeking sexual tension. And I was like, what the fuck? You know, it was so intimidating. And I was just like sitting there, I was thinking about this. And this person, I actually, because we have an emergency right to veto. We have if for any reason we're allowed to do it, but you know, like
it's the A-bomb.
It's the bomb and we are both allowed it, right? Yeah. We give each other that. Because sometimes I date losers where I don't see the red flags. You know, like the red flag bucket. You know that meme where I'm like, it's like a bunch of red flags. And you're like, hey, that looks like a great guy. I should date him. And, you know, thank God I have a loving husband who knows me and what I need and what I actually care about. So anyways, so the moral of the story is I vetoed this person and I was freaking out because there was a whole bunch of things that kind of led up to it. You know, I was feeling super insecure about myself. I compared myself to her because she was a fucking 10. And I'm not talking like, guys, she was a fucking 10. And like, not only that, you know, I was comparing myself to her. I was comparing myself to their energy. And I was like nervous that, you know, he wasn't feeling the same way about me. And I was scared I was going to lose him. And you know what? I totally freaked out one night and it just all compiled. I mean, I tried for like months. Like, what was it? Like almost a year.
No. Oh, well, I wasn't. Well, no, because it was only about 6 months.
Six months. Oh, okay. So yeah. I tried for like 6 months to make sure like we were communicating, that they were still doing their thing. And, you know, I encouraged them and I just did as much personal growth as I could. But it got to a point and I was just like, fuck no, I'm done. This is it. I'm vetoing. And that was mute. That conversation no longer continued. And I appreciate the fact that he even like took that on board and was honest and genuine about that. But, you know, like not talking to her anymore. Mm. And, you know, like, so anyways, so that happened and like I freaked out. But the reality is I used every excuse in the book to make Aaron think like as if it was an addict trying to make an excuse to use. I was making all the excuses in the book to convince him that the veto was important and the veto had to be done. And I did do that. And I think it's almost like kind of like manipulation, but to, I feel like, an almost a subconscious degree. Like I was so scared and like I didn't even realize I was doing it, and I was being so selfish because I was just honestly trying to take away his happiness because I couldn't handle how it made me feel. So I never even realized that I had done this behavior until tonight. Until I took 5 minutes and I thought about it. And legit, this happened how long ago?
Well, I mean, yeah, it happened. Let's just put it...
A long time ago.
Well,
and yeah. It took me a very long time. Guys, I've been poly for like, what, 7, 6 years or something like that. And I still fuck up all the time and I'm still learning new
little things. Well, I still think you're being a little hard on yourself too.
Well, that's fine. But I think it's good to be honest and really authentic with that, because I do think that that's the reason why I did it. Like, I'm just to own my shit, you know? The most important part of this is own your shit. If you have fucking dirty laundry and you feel like you are envious or you are scared of losing your partner, or if something in the past has fucked you up and, you know, you're taking that out on your current partner, you know, just own your fucking shit, because that way, at least that ownership of your shit, no matter if it's you or it's me, whoever it is, you get to move past that. You get to finally have a conversation and then you get to have a talk about how you guys can change. And that's the most important part, is sure, we can talk about this shit all day long, but the purpose is that we need to find how to make the change, how to make the mindset shift. How do we get past the point of anger and despair and all that shit? And how do we work together so that we can prevent it from happening again? How do we make it so that we're better, right? And I know that I have shit to own, and I know that my husband has shit that he owns all the time. And for you guys, it's just as important. Own your shit.
And know your partner. If there's some struggle, make sure you know what the struggle actually is about.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And sometimes it doesn't always come out right away.
Yeah.
You know, it may take, I mean, if you're like me, I'm a slow processor. I'm kind of dumb.
You're not dumb.
You know.
You just prioritize.
Well, I was definitely prioritizing. Yes. I had a lot of other things going on. But
you did.
Yeah.
So I just think that, I think, guys, this is a really long episode for my podcast, but I really wanted to talk about the importance of communication of jealousy. And the different kinds of jealousy that exists. Yeah, that's a big
thing, the different kinds, that it's not always about, you know, what would be the most
obvious
is that it could be about something else entirely.
Yeah. So, and so it's just so important to have that communication. And I hope that our story at like, you know, helps in any way, shape or form, just to give you a little bit of perspective of just how much fucking effort non-monogamy takes and the reality of a good, effective communication is lengthy. Mm-hmm. It's a long time. So with love, guys, I feel like that's a wrap. That was a good episode. Anything you'd like to wrap up, honey? Anything you want to...
Hi, everybody.
Wrap up. You want to wrap that penis?
I don't understand the question.
I had to go there.
What are you wrapping?
Penis.
What about him?
Penis and vagina. Penis and vagina. We should do an ad. Club IT.
Keep the lollipops out of your vagina. You will get a yeast infection.
You can use Kinestin to treat that shit.
Right. So all that free candy at Club IT.
I don't think they probably have candy anymore.
Probably not. Yeah, we haven't been. So that's the other thing is that, yeah, no, we haven't. That's
part, you know, a pandemic happened.
Pandemics and stuff. No, we have not been to a Club IT. I don't anticipate we are going to be going to Club IT or... Anytime soon.
I work with, like, you know, vulnerable populations.
Me too.
Oh, my God.
They're vulnerable.
Oh, don't say that on air.
Anyways.
That was funny. Well, I wish they knew how funny that was.
They are vulnerable. It's true.
And so are mine.
Yeah.
So, okay. Anyways. With the pandemic, the Club IT is currently open. They don't have their dance floor open, but you kind of hang out in your cohorts and you can play upstairs in your cohorts. Can you? Know, and yeah, you can play upstairs really? Now. Yeah.
Is there like plexiglass? It should be.
Should be glory holes.
Well, at BC, the Ministry of Health in BC says... Glory hole's the way to go. So if you need maybe if you stuck a lollipop through the glory hole, a sour soother, a piece of cake through the glory
hole.
That
would be me. If you give me a piece
of... A bag of chips.
No, it's a cake. It's fucking the cake. If you put a cake through that fucking thing, there I am. Fuck candy. Fuck sour soothers. Oh. Fucking everything else. Give me that cake, bitch.
Oh.
I love cake.
Oh.
Chocolate
That's
cake
funny.
Is so good.
Hilarious. Oh.
Do you love me in my cake loving
ways? I
love
you so much.
Really okay. Do. Moral of the story is go to Club IT. If you go to Club IT and you mention my podcast and it's the first time you've ever been, then you just say, hey, why choose one so that I could like come here and not pay? And they'll be like, okay.
At least once.
At least, well, for the first time.
Yeah.
So you guys can go for free and check it out and see if you like it for yourself. I mean, it's not the same as before the pandemic, you know, like a vagina free for all. But, you know, I'm not saying it was a vagina free for all. It felt like a vagina free for all at times. Anyways.
It did?
You know, that time, that place.
Where the hell was I? It must have been I ran out to the car to get your smokes.
No, you're probably knee-deep in a vagina.
In that 5 minutes.
There's so much time in 5 minutes.
Jesus.
I could be so effective.
Captain Steubing went on a mission.
Dun-da-da! Dun-da-da! Dun-da-da!
You're getting plowed upstairs, so I went to go get your smokes.
Of course.
Really?
No.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we love you guys. Thanks again for tuning in for this ridiculously long episode.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, mad love.